So last week I talked about the process of discovering who we are. That's a big topic. So I kind of took one kind of swipe at it. I talked about the important changes that we'll likely experience over the course of our lives. Changes that will hopefully lead us to a picture of who we really are, who we want to become. But there's changes that happen in order for us to become the people we really are. Some of those changes are going to happen intentionally. You're going to make a choice to do it. Some of the changes are going to happen without you even realizing it. For example, I know just from having chatted with numbers different people here within our community or our podcast community, you've made some deliberate changes in your lifestyle. Some people, they told me, they said, you know, I used to be like a crazy partier. Things were a little bit out of control, and I don't do that like I once did. I've really toned it down. Some people have described some changes they made, like spending less money than they once did. They used to spend money they couldn't afford to be able to run with a crowd who were doing a lot of great things, and they had to make some decisions there. And they said, you know, I can't do what these great people are doing. I got to scale back. Some of you went through a divorce. Some of you came clear about your sexual orientation, or you just got honest about it. Some of you got serious about your weight loss. Some of you went into recovery. Some of these choices you made very deliberately. Some of it just happened. You're like, whoa, what happened here? For some, it was your spiritual beliefs that began to shift. And it's not that you went out looking to make that happen. Just life starts happening and starts challenging certain things. And then you begin to question. And then this starts to happen. Then you go, wait a second, I don't know if I see it quite that way anymore. And before you knew it, you were thinking and believing differently. I could go on and on about these changes that happen in our lives that are a part of the process of discovering who you really are. But as you make these changes, if it becomes more and more a reflection of who you are down deep, or the person that you really want to be, it's a beautiful thing. We talked about how beautiful that could be last week. The freedom of being able to not have to get squeezed into some mold that someone's been trying to put you into. Not having to kind of live a bit of a lie with other people so that you can kind of be accepted or loved. Beautiful thing about being able to be true to yourself and to others and just go, yeah, this is me. And sit in that and know that that's enough. Waking up every morning, looking at the person in the mirror going, I'm proud of who this person is that I'm looking at. Oh, that there is priceless, folks. What I didn't talk a lot about last week is the fallout, the relational fallout of some of these changes that can occur. With people in your life who maybe don't like the change. How many know perhaps what I'm referring to? Some of these changes, there are people in your life who love you deeply, but they don't like who they see you becoming. And it's weird because something exciting is going on inside of you, and yet they're looking at you and going, yeah, I'm not sure about this. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Some people want you to be your old self. They want the party animal back. They want to be able to party. Some people don't like the fact that you're in the middle of a divorce because that's going to create awkwardness now. You're breaking up the group. Thank you. I'm glad it's all about you, right? There's awkwardness and tension. Some of our families, friends, as they're watching you spiritually begin to explore perhaps, or change your view on certain things, or open up, or come out, whatever. They're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And from the moment some of the changes become public, things can become relationally challenging. From awkward to emotional. For some, they become combative to insulting. Sometimes people will move, friends, family will move into full-blown denial. Go, no, 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 this isn't happening. No, you're just a little confused. That's okay. You'll come to your senses. Right to complete abandonment, estrangement, where they just drop off the map. Guaranteed, as you make changes in your personal journey to become who you are, there will be some that will celebrate, but there will be some who have a problem with it. It's crazy how some of these changes that are leading to such personal freedom and growth and authentic expression in our own lives can lead to such relational upheaval for some. But this kind of conflict that arises from healthy change ain't new. It's been around since the beginning of time. In fact, I got thinking about this as we were kind of digging into the book of Numbers. The story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They have been under the most oppressive regime, living as slaves. Moses moves in, says, let my people go. And through a whole process, crazy, they get released from slavery. And now they're on the move. The book of Numbers picks them up while they're in the wilderness, on their way to a promised land. I mean, you can imagine how wonderful the idea was that they were getting freed. They were no longer slaves, heading to their own land, a promise of land filled with milk and honey. They were gonna be their own bosses now. They were gonna drive their own ship. They were gonna build their own lives and not be told what to do anymore. You would think this would be such an amazing thing, but. Started thinking about this. Can you imagine the chaos that this change would have created? Scholars estimate that this group of people numbered anywhere, and I mean, the estimates are crazy. Anywhere from tens of thousands, the children of Israel, up to 2 million. This community, let's just say it was big. It was like a moving, tented city in the middle of the wilderness. We're talking, this is like a Coachella, a Woodstock on crack, man. Like this is like crazy tent city moving on the move. But think about the dynamic of that many people, many of whom had known no other life other than being slaves. Every day of their lives being forced to do the same things again and again. Listening to the same boss screaming the same orders. No freedom of expression, no ability to choose what they were going to do or who they were going to be. There was no options, folks. You're making bricks. They were living under one of the most oppressive, rigid domination systems in the world at that time. And now for the first time, they were free. This was the ancient version of prison break, man. Like these inmates were out and they're going, we're going. Can you imagine? No rules. This was the Wild West. They had no bylaws. They had no structure set up. These people now were going, what? You mean today I get to do what I want? Can you imagine? I wonder how many relationships were damaged and lost as people stepped up and said, yeah, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that today. Hey, would you mind picking up some of the garbage? You know, no, I don't feel like it today. You confused me with Slave Johnny last week. Yeah, you ain't my boss anymore. Can you imagine the kinds? I'm wondering how many people got killed in the process of trying to define rules and order and going, hey, we got to clean up now, guys. Just because we don't have no boss sitting over us and whip cracking the whip, we got to get. People saying, shut up, man. I want my own space. I'm an introvert. Keep it down over there. I wonder what kind of ugly conflict was created from their newfound freedom. This story may have originated thousands of years ago in a different culture, in a different part of the world. But you know what? If you look at it more than literally, just like us, on a journey of discovery, trying to figure out who we are, wrestling with our identities, having to figure out the implications of living out our true lives with people right beside us who are different, who want us to be a certain way because it's just easier, it's more comfortable, it's more understandable, it's more predictable. This week, this is really what I want to talk about is a relational fallout of the healthy decisions you will make to be yourself. Relational fallout, the tension, the frustration, perhaps the judgment that either leads people to push us away, that brings people to say, you know what? I don't think I want you to be close to me. Or the tension and the frustration, the awkwardness, or just whatever that causes us to maybe take a step back from them and go, you know what? No, I can't do this now. I need to go over here. Regardless whether it's them initiating it or if it's us initiating it, let me tell you something. There is almost automatically a reaction or a new reality that gets presented. The texts stop flowing. Huh? Phone stops ringing. Perhaps. Maybe family gatherings become a little bit more awkward. For some of us who are more the people-pleasing side, this is a painful thing. Feelings of rejection, hurt, sadness, abandonment, especially if we aren't the ones choosing it, then it's really tough. When you hear about a party that got called and you would have been the first one called, but it's happening without you this time. You hear about a trip that some people are going on and, oh, things are different. For some, just the threat of that alone keeps people from ever being true to themselves. Maybe you're one of those. Where right now you're saying, you know what? The price isn't worth coming out of hiding. I can live the lie a little longer. I need these people in my life. But listen to me. The distance that gets created sometimes in the middle of this, whether it's you choosing or them choosing it, it can be a healthy thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's amazing how much easier life can be when you're not constantly around people who don't understand what's going on inside of you. Less awkwardness, huh? Less annoyance, less drama. A lot more space and opportunity for you to be able to process what's going really on inside of you. For you to kind of figure out what it is you believe. What kind of life it is that you want to live. I'm realizing, for me personally, this has been an incredibly healthy thing. It's kind of like Joseph Campbell. Anyone familiar with Joseph Campbell? He was a writer. He wrote a number of books. But he came up with this. He began to observe this archetypal pattern that he called the hero's journey. He began to see this pattern in so much of humanity over thousands of years and all the mythologies told. But it's a pattern that's true in our own lives. That's why it gets told, the story, again and again in a certain way. He says it this way, simply, we all leave home and the familiar at some point. This is part of the journey, the hero's journey. At some point in your life, in some way or another, you will leave home and you'll leave all that's familiar and you'll go on a journey of self-discovery. And while you're out on this journey, away from the influence of family, perhaps of close friends, that is where you begin to really sort out who you are. Begin to learn things about yourself. Begin to even challenge your own beliefs. You wrestle. You meet new people. You get exposed to different ways of thinking that were different than what you knew. And then there comes a point in time when you return. But you're different. You're re-energized. You're recharged. And you're interdependent. Some of the strings from your old life have been cut. You come back looking different, feeling different. You'll find that story in every movie out there. You'll find it, if you look into your life, you'll see times. And whether it is a literal leaving home, or whether it's a time when you just said, you know what, I used to always do this. This was my run home to mama pattern, but I'm leaving it now. And I'm trying something else. For some of you stepping into this church, you left home because this is unfamiliar. Some of you left a way of living that's home. And right now you're trying to figure out, who am I? This is the hero's journey. And it's healthy. The distance you got maybe from people in your life who don't like who you're becoming, sometimes that distance is the best thing for us. If we're intentional. This time away can allow us to get into healthy patterns and rhythms that really honor who you need to be. But at some point in the journey, I think all of us come to a place where we begin to realize that there is something we're missing. We're missing the meaningful moments of connection that we experienced back when we were at home. And I'm not talking just literally home. I'm not just talking literally your parents. I'm talking that former way of life. You leave a party world. There are moments when you get on your journey, you look back and you go, oh man. Maybe you see pictures on Facebook of the trip, of the weekend that they just had. And you have these flashbacks of these moments where you're sitting around the campfire and you're laughing your face off. Moments where you sit there and people were telling stories and you're connecting and you felt so a part of something. Someone's saying, hey, he's here. And you're going, yeah, I'm here. And you have this sense of, man, I belong right here with these people and they'd miss me when I leave. And I want that again. There are moments, perhaps, when you're on your journey where you look back and you remember a time, a conversation, when you spoke with someone in the eyes, maybe someone who's even right now not wanting to have anything to do with you. But you remember some good moments where they looked you in the eyes and they said, man, I don't know what I'd do without you. You mean the world to me. You remember times when someone came to your rescue, when you needed it, when you had nothing, or when you were broke, or when you needed a hand, someone came in. When you were beaten down, someone came to your rescue and said, man, I believe in you. Come on, Belle, get off the floor. Sometimes these are the very people right now that are pushing us away, or that we're having to push away. But in these moments on the journey, you're looking back and you're going, oh, shit, I miss them. I want them back. You miss it. You miss those family dinners that used to be a certain way. Yeah. Christmas can be a difficult time for the very reason that there's something about that atmosphere that reminds us of moments that were pretty good. It can. And you go, oh, I want to go back. Family holidays. You can drive to a certain place in town, a pub, a sporting event, and all of a sudden be transported back to this time when you were just feeling so connected. If you're paying attention, these are signals from within. Your body, your mind, your soul is craving something. It's craving connection. Because it knows, whether you realize it or whether you want to acknowledge it or not, life just feels better. Life just takes on a different, deeper meaning when it's experienced with at least another person who really gets us, who really understands. Isn't it true? There is something so soul enriching when at least one other person can look in your eyes and say, "You matter to me. I would rather not be anywhere but here with you right now. Together. You and me. Yeah. Oh. We're not meant to do life alone. And your soul and your body and your mind know it. Science has been proving this again and again and again. People say, "I don't need people." No, no, science is proving that men and women who lack this kind of connection have comparatively higher levels of depression, anxiety, mood disorders, adjustment problems, suicidal behavior climbs, all kinds of other psychological distress. We need connection with others. Having friends, at least one who we can experience some kind of life with, scientifically it's been proven, it has incredible value to us. So the question in my mind becomes, now that I'm living more true to who I am, as I'm ordering my world in a way that honors my values, my beliefs, and my priorities, and as some of the choices I am making have led to certain people vacating, who are the people? Who is the person that I'm going to invest in and share my new life with? What do I do with some of the friendships that are back there a ways? Both Kathy and I have relationships in our family that we have experienced some fallout due to our evolving spiritual beliefs and practices. That's been our story. That's where we've lost something. There have been moments when even our kids have felt judged. I mean, with the best intentions, when someone says, "Hey, look, we're praying for you guys." I'm like, "Well, thank you. I'm glad I'm at the top of your prayer list." It's altered some of our relational world. Some of it so subtly you don't even realize it's happening. These relationships used to fill up a good chunk of our disposable relational time. Weekends, Sunday dinners, common gatherings. It was like, yeah, the evenings could fill up. The days could fill up. Family would come rolling through and it was like, "Hey, Jeff, Kathy, let's..." And it's different. I'm thinking in this community of people who have left perhaps a church. And you have friends back there. Some of you have gone through a divorce. You have friends back there. Some of you, you've gone into recovery and you've left some friends back there. You've moved. You've changed careers, perhaps. Or perhaps some of your friends have just moved away. Doesn't have to be dramatic. Without realizing it, you're missing this connection you once had. These changes, subtly or very obviously, they scramble our relational worlds. And sometimes you don't really know what you're feeling. You just know that something's missing. And I just want to explain this really quickly, and I'm going to get to the point. It helps me to kind of step back and look at a diagram every now and then and just go, what's going on here? borrowing from the work of Edward Hall, and I've talked about this before, he's concluded that there's four spatial references that our relationships fall into. It's pretty explanatory, isn't it? Public, social, personal, and intimate. Public occurs when you walk into this door. You don't know anyone else, but you're here in this community. You're part of something, you're in public space. The only thing you share in common is the fact that Friends Church, there's something about it that you're going, I identify with that. You walk in, and it's an external influence that's bringing us all together. All you Flames fans, you heartbroken Flames fans, you don't know all the other Flames fans, but you share something in common. We're broken right now. And we're having to hear about these Edmonton Oilers. Oh, my gosh. When I see someone has the Calgary Flames fan, you know, flag waving from their vehicle, I look over and I go, man, I feel your pain. I don't know that guy, but I'm in public space with that person. Makes sense? And then you meet someone and you get to know their name, and that's all you need to move into social space. Some of you have gotten to know a few people in here. You don't do anything else with them other than you know their name and face, and you can say hi and shake their hand on a Sunday. But they occupy social space in your world. We have huge capacity for social space. Hundreds can be in our social space. But then you move from social space into personal space. And this is where we begin to reveal more of ourselves. These are the people that we choose to actually invest some time and energy with beyond just the natural life patterns. We say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? Why don't we go to a movie? Or you want to go out? Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love that. You only have so much capacity for personal space. But personal space is what gets hit when these life changes happen. What happens is the people that are in your personal space often, without you knowing it, maybe intentionally, they get bumped into social space. That's what's happening. And what happens to your... Do you have that next diagram? What happens is your personal space shrinks. And you don't even know it because you know all these people. They're still around. But something changed. Because people in personal space, these are the ones we consider close friends. We can be more vulnerable. These are the people that we actually feel safe with. We're learning to open up and be true to who we are. Personal space is perfect when you have these changes you're making to find people that honor all these things that you are about, who you are, who you want to be. That's personal space stuff. People in that space are going, I love you just the way you are. That's awesome. And you go, yeah. And so you open up and you go, hey, how's your day? Man, it's crappy. Kath and I had a fight last night. I'm in the doghouse. Sleep on the couch right now. Oh, really? You okay? Well, yeah, I'm all right. Neck's a little stiff. Kathy's shaking her head. You can share the good, the bad, and the ugly with these people. They drop in, the house is a mess. Come on in, who cares? You know me. These people know you and they trust you, they love you. That's why when these people go away, it can really hurt. Because these are the people that want to celebrate with you when things are really good, and they want to mourn with you when things are not so good. They're the ones that will show up to help you move. You want to know how many you got in personal space? Hello. Unless you got some real good Samaritans living around. Personal space is so underrated. And here's the thing, for an extrovert, I've got so many people in my world, it's been painful when I just said, let's just look at who I've got in this personal space. Who would I really trust in times like this to be open and honest? How honest can I be about that part of my life that I'm feeling a little shameful about? And this, how many, when something good happens in my life, could I call up and say, hey, I just got to brag for a second. People in social space, they don't want to hear about your bad problems. They think you're a whiner. Huh? And they don't want to celebrate when something's going, oh, look at him, he's gloating again. Personal space friends are gold. talk about intimate, but I don't have enough time. And it's not part of the talk, all right? Trust me, you need that too, but it's important. The relational companionship, the doing stuff together, having someone to vent with, to play around a golf with, to turn to when you need help. This personal space is so valuable. So the healthy question becomes, how can I replenish these personal friendships? Some of you will go back, and I know this to be true of myself. I pushed some people into social space back when I was making some changes. Some removed me from their personal space. And I don't want to lose them. And over the last little while, I've been doing everything I can. I went through the season where I'm like, hey, let's sort this out. Let's talk. Because I want to go back. Some of us will do this. Some of us will try to figure out a way to get some kind of reciprocity there and a decision to go back to the way it was. But here's my experience. It doesn't happen often. It's tough for some. I come from a family of divorce. Both my mom and my dad have been divorced twice. They're in their third marriages. And one thing I've learned from divorce is that changes get made. And it's just like some people just go away. Tough for a kid trying to understand how that works. But I remember sometimes when everything kind of went down, it was like, are we getting together with that family sometime soon? And my mom saying, no, that isn't going to happen anymore. And I remember the sadness. Here's what I've learned. It's a part of saying goodbye to some of those people that will never, ever fit in your personal space. It requires a little bit of mourning. Some of you have said goodbye, or there's people that are lurking, and you're still not sure what's going on there. And I'm telling you, for some of you in some of those relationships, you need to kind of formally mourn the loss of something that might never return. I was talking with Jerry, a member of our community this week. In talking about his divorce, he said it's part of his therapy. He wrote a goodbye letter. In his goodbye letter, he said, I'm saying goodbye today to feeling like I had to leave my personality in the garage before walking into the house. He had a list of negative goodbyes. He said, I had to say goodbye to hiding my achievement so I wouldn't have to face a jealous criticism or a lack of support. Saying goodbye to that. Saying goodbye to having all my possessions that meant so much to me that I brought into the house, all down the basement. Saying goodbye to that. But then he said, I'm saying goodbye to some of the most wonderful Christmas dinners. Saying goodbye to the idea of celebrating a 50th wedding anniversary. He says, I had to say goodbye to my home. He said goodbye to a number of different things. This healthy process of letting go of some relationships that aren't going to come back. Part of restoring our lives to healthy levels of community, filling up our personal levels of relationship, might require saying goodbye to 1, 2, 3 people and acknowledging the things that you're going to lose. Part of the changes inside of me, I've lost a piece of my relationship with my dad. That stings. You know, I was thinking about it. The thing I think I miss the most is a tone of voice. My dad could be so verbally appreciative of us kids. He'd look at me and he'd say, I don't know if I can do this. Nope, I can't. We're moving on. I'm saying goodbye to that tone and the things he used to tell me. It's not going to happen. And I'm learning to be okay with that. Because that tone won't come back unless I go back to my former self. And I ain't going back. I like who I am. This is working. Once you've done that, you need to decide if it's not going to be them, then who is the one? Now listen to me. Some of you people right now, there's some people in this room, you've got lots of personal friends. And I celebrate with you. You've done your work. You've built out your networks. You're loving life right now because you've got people to do life with. And I celebrate that. And I see marks of health within our community where people are, their lives are full of people and relationships that you've been cultivating. And these are people that acknowledge who you are and celebrate that. That is the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing. Honor that. And even today, be proud of that and take care of those friendships. But for some of you right now, your personal relationships are very few. I could look at most men. This is chronic of most men. Life changes happen, and it might not even be something negative or bad. But guys, you know what? We move. We change jobs, whatever. And guys are nowhere near as proactive as women. So many men, I could look at most of you guys and say, chances are you have ended up in a life where your friends were all those guys that you made friends with back in college. And the only reason you're friends with them is because they were sitting right beside you. And you went, hey. And they went, hey. What are you doing? I'm drinking beer. Oh, me too. But then life changes and you don't step out and do this. You don't replenish. We need to replenish. We need to work at putting people back into this space because this is the gold of our everyday life, of being able to celebrate, to know and to be known, to serve and to be served, to help pull people up, to inspire, to pick them up off of the dust and say, come on, pal, that you can't let that define you. Too much life happens day in and day out in our lives not to have people who believe in us and want to cheer us on. Some of you young parents, you will go through chapters with your kids. I'll warn you right now, it's coming. You will be pulling your hair out wondering, what have we made here? You will go through chapters in those times where you will look at your spouse and say, I would rather be married to anyone else than you right now. It happens. Some of you will go through business failure. Some of you, I won't even go through the list. Too much life happens without people being in your corner and without you being in someone else's corner. To think that you can do it on social space alone. So like dating, like online dating, you start developing your profile. Who are you going to be? And the biggest mistake you ever make is by presenting yourself in a way that ain't true to you. You're going to do all this work to be true to you. Now's no time to stop. But now you start looking for the people that are, there's some kind of compatibility. And let me tell you something. In a church like this, in old churches that I've been a part of, they would hire a guy like me to help matchmake. Oh, hey, you look like, oh, hey, you have you met so-and-so? Oh, there you go. You know what? We don't believe about that in that anymore. People come in, they're wanting to get connected. Look it. It's time to grow up and be an adult. Listen to me. You need to learn to reach out to some other people. You need to use these events that we're doing. The next parkway, pathway cleanup. You're out and about. You know what you're doing? As you're cleaning up garbage, you're meeting people. And you're sorting. You're going, geez, that guy seems to have something in common there. I'm going to go and just chat him up a bit. And then it requires stepping out there a little bit, being a little risky and saying, hey, you know what? I don't know if you golf or anything, or I don't know if you, you know, a bunch of us are, we're thinking about doing something. Hey, after church, would you guys ever be interested in just going out for a bite? Adults in healthy relationships who have healthy personal relationships make these kind of steps. All right, you know the rest. Replenish personal relationships. Stop. Don't you dare give in to not being true to yourself, though, in the process. You stay true to who you are, true to what you believe. Don't waffle on that. It's going backwards. Be honest. Be real. Be authentic. Because I'm telling you, there are people probably sitting right around you right now that would love the real you and would cheer you on. This is just good speaking this morning, folks. I'm done. I pray that this community would, when we snap up the x-rays of each person's life, you give us a year, and we just see this beautiful, throw up that diagram again. We see this, the first one, the beautiful ring, a yellow space, personal space in the lives of our community, where you are helping and they are helping you. You're supporting and cheering on and becoming the person you were always meant to be. And I pray if today you're looking at this and in all honesty, you're going, you know what? I don't got many of them, that you'll make some decisions. Be intentional about this. All right. Let's get out there and do it. Have a great week, everyone.